Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Is bigger better? I want to know. Everyone wants to know. Kevin's in the house. Kevin, yes. Brightwell is in the house. He's in. He brought a Tupperware full of, that's right, big glide baits. But the question is, like everyone, you probably get lots of questions, so especially over the years. When do you throw a big glide bait and when do you, you know, when do you downsize? How do you know how to fish one from the other?
So for me, I'm following what the fish want to do that day. I always have a pretty good spread on my boat. Or if you're shore fishing, I do a lot of shore fishing still as well.
Right.
These aren't just for the guys who have, you know, $90,000 bass boats. These can be for your shore guys or anybody really, but I'm following what the fish do that day. Typically when I'm starting my day and trying to figure out what they want, because the fish on with swim baits, they are very, very moody. You know, they'll always at some point eat a worm or a jig, and there's different sizes.
Right.
But when it comes to big, big swim baits, you know, they are very, very moody on what size they want to eat that day, and it can change throughout the day. So I like to have a variety. I always try to start big and see what they're doing.
What do you mean by big?
For me, big is like the king. So for me, this king. It's an 11-inch bait, has a lot of drawing power.
All right.
I will try to start off either with the king or with the legend, which is a 9-inch bait.
All right.
And that's kind of where I start for the day. And I see how the fish are reacting. I see if I'm getting followers, which means those fish will literally come out of cover and follow that bait. There might be one follower, or there might be a whole wolf pack of, you know, 10 to 12 fish or more. So you want to see how the fish are reacting that day. And if they're just following, that's why I start big. Sometimes they'll start out of nowhere and just, you know, absolutely demolish that bait, try to kill it. But if they're only trying to follow, then I keep downsizing until I find what size they're comfortable coming up and eating.
Right.
And sometimes that bite might change throughout the day. If you start off big and they're just eating it, then I'm going to stick with big all day long, because your chances of catching a giant are on a giant bait, your odds go up of catching a bigger fish on a bigger bait. But if they're just following and not interested, then I keep downsizing until I finally get a bite. And once I get a bite, I stick with that bait. You know, I try not to change it until I've just wore out that bite, until I'm not catching fish. And then I need to know, I either need to go up, they're in the mood is shifted and they want to eat something bigger.
Right.
Or I need to downsize. And that's just trial and error throughout the day.
And water clarity, does that play a part of, you know, the size?
Yeah, for me, my confidence, you know, if you would have asked me this question 4 or 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, I would only fish these in clear water.
Right.
But then I moved to Beaver Lake. And Beaver Lake is not clear all the time. And I've learned that clarity really does not make too much of a difference. It makes a difference for me or for the angler, because you can't see what the fish are doing unless you have live scope or something.
Right.
And that didn't, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, that didn't exist.
Right.
But I've learned by fishing a dirtier lake that's not always clear. Beaver, it's such a transitional lake that you can have dirty water or super gen clear water.
Right.
Well, where I was living, it's kind of a mix where I was fishing most of the time. And so I could go out and still catch fish on days where the water was gin clear, like I'm used to, and I see the fish and I get them to react.
Right.
But there are also days where I'd go out and fish anyways in the dirty water and just maintain it and still catch fish. And so I gained a lot of confidence by doing that and saying, look, dirty water doesn't make a difference. It makes a difference on you being able to see what the fish are doing, but the fish, they still sense that bait is there. They're the top predator in their area. So, they can sense that a bait is there, and they'll still come up and eat it. It just takes you a little bit by surprise because you don't see it happen like you would in gin clear water.
Right. And I think a lot of YouTube videos and stuff, they always show the water looks clear.
Because it's more fun for the angler. Instead of getting that blind, instead of casting into dirty water and getting a blind bite, if you can find clear water and you're having more fun, you get to interact with those fish more. You see the followers. You can get those followers to commit by doing different actions, by making the bait seem more erratic, or even just slowing them down the bait and stopping it. That's why a lot of the videos you see are clear water, because it's almost, for swim baiting, it's more enjoyable. But you can go and catch them in dirty water as well.
Let's talk about size, the weight.
Yes.
Weight of these and what you're going to use to throw. Like, are you using a 710 or what kind of length rod?
Yeah, most of my rods are 711. So I have gone down We're going down a rabbit hole here. I'm lucky to have partnered with a rod manufacturer that's here, fairly local, and so I haven't got. Once I partnered with them, I've only used the rods that I have made for myself for the past like 10 years. So I can't really recommend other companies or brands. There's others that are very well known in the swim bait game.
But you're in that 7'10", 7'11" range.
Yeah, heavy, extra heavy. I like a parabolic bend on mine. And I like a super long handle. And a lot of people are uncomfortable with that long of a handle, but it really saves. These baits are so big. And the fish, when you're tangling with, 30 to 40 pound striper fairly frequently, which for some people that sounds like, a once in a lifetime thing. But in this area, that can happen any day of the week. A 30, 40 pound striper is not, they're no stranger here, especially when you're throwing big baits.
Right.
So I like a really long handle, really heavy rod, parabolic bend. That handle just saves a lot of torque on your wrists, on your shoulders, and all that stuff when you're casting these. Because if you're casting a big, 9, almost 10 ounce bait all day long, that will wear you out very quickly if you don't have the right gear.
I got you.
If you get the right gear, and I recommend the longest handle that you can find. We offer rods as well. Yeah. They're all through Tackle Warehouse right now, but if you can get a long handle rod and get the right gear, the right size reel, then it can be a comfortable experience, and it's not like you're lobbing an anchor out there all day long.
Like an Alabama rig.
Exactly. And those can feel like, once you get the right setup, those can feel like you can throw with the right setup. This can feel like a little eighth ounce jig. Wow. I mean, it's just, you get the right setup and it doesn't feel big anymore.
Well, let's talk about weights of these lures, because a lot of the rod manufacturers that do offer them, they go by ounces. So they'll go like, this one's 4 to 8 to 3 ounces, and this one's 3 to 5 ounces.
Yeah, they try to get a pretty good range by ounces full ounces instead of eighth of an ounce. Like you get down to the crappie stuff, it can be 16th ounce to 8th ounce and all that stuff. You're talking micro scale, very fine tuned. And in the swim bait game, you're talking about full ounces. We might have a 3 to 4 ounce range on the rod. And so,
what's the lightest one you have here?
The lightest one I have is this little tiny guy, and it's not on the market yet, but we are bringing it to the market really, really soon.
Right, and ounce-wise?
It's less than an ounce. Yeah, it's it's about 3/4 of an ounce.
3/4 of an ounce?
Yep, so you can throw that on just about any regular bass tackle.
You can easily throw this on bass.
Yeah, you can throw it on a crankbait rod, or you don't need anything specialized for that one.
Right, and does it have a name yet?
Does not have a name yet. I'm still working on the name. So
you can call it a BDW.
BDW? Might consider that. We'll see.
There you go. Probably not. I don't think you need a bait named after me. I'm sure of that.
That's the smallest, all the way up to the biggest, which is the pounder, and it's named that for a reason. It kind of just took on that name on its own. It's because it's a little over 16 ounces.
Yeah, you can feel this one.
Yeah.
This one you might feel when you're casting.
Yeah, that's not one that I pick up and throw all day long. That one I save for, this point has a lot of good structure on it. Like, this is the most high percentage area for a big fish that I'm going to come across today. That's where I'm throwing the big one.
Right. So your most common swim baits, what do you think, in the range that people buy?
The most common range for most people is the 7-inch size, and that's the Chad Shad.
Yep. And what does it weigh?
It weighs 2. We've made some changes on this. No, this one is 1.97 ounces.
So it's just shy of two.
Yeah. And they do vary. So sometimes they'll be up to 2.4 ounces, because the reason they vary, they're handmade product. And with the materials that I use, humidity makes a difference and all that stuff. So we're constantly having to adjust our recipes. Right. And so they do vary slightly. But it's not so much of a variance that it's really going to throw off what rod you're throwing it on. If you're throwing a big swim bait, it can handle that tolerance. The rod will handle that tolerance change.
And so line size, line style.
Right.
According to the weight of your lure, how are you picking it when you're fishing them?
When I'm fishing them, I fish a little. I'm a little more risky than what I recommend to people.
Okay.
So the lighter the line, the better action and the more distance you're going to get. So I push my luck all the time, and I lose baits because of it. Right. So like on a 7-inch bait, I'll go down to 14 and 15 pound test because I feel more confident with it.
Right.
But I also lose baits. For the regular everyday guy who's buying these baits and doesn't have full, I have full access to these. I can lose yes. one and it's not, I still get sad, but I'm not devastated by it.
Uh-huh.
So for the average guy, I'm recommending no less than 20 pound mono. I like mono.
Uh-huh.
It gives mono. You enough. I do braid to mono. So I run about I run 65 pound braid down to, 50 pound braid, depends on which bait I'm running.
Right.
And then run about a 6 foot leader. And I like mono.
Yeah.
So this is one that's not hit the market yet either.
Oh, this one here.
Yeah. It's the little carp. But it is one that has had high demand. I got to the stage where it's production ready
uh-huh.
and just haven't put it into production yet.
So like 3 ounces.
Yeah. I don't have a full, I don't recall. I've got so many different baits and I don't recall. I'd have to go back and scale it.
Grab hold of this and you could tell me what it is.
This one is going to run in that. This isn't that 2 ounce range. It's still,
it's in the 2 ounce range.
Yeah, it's going to be about the same as the Chet Shad.
And so these mm-hmm. Have like the fins on top are hard.
Correct.
Are all of them on your baits.
So
the make of those, are they all the same?
Yeah. So anything that's on the body, I try to build into it, so it's less. Okay. There's other baits that have Plastisol or soft fins that actually protrude. Right. I try to build everything in just so I don't have to have any replacement parts. A lot of the baits that have those fins, they can fall off or, get messed up and then you have to replace it. I like to build all my stuff built into the resin.
You haven't had anyone ever come back and say, hey, this doesn't catch a fish. Can you buy this back from me?
Yes, I have, and I'll buy it back because then I'll go use it and catch fish and take pictures with it. So I have, there's people who buy stuff, and just don't give it a full opportunity or give it a full chance. Right. You got to show a little dedication when you're going to swim baits.
Right.
It's easy to want to put it down for the average everyday guy who's never thrown a swim bait, who's used to jigs and crankbaits and stuff like uh-huh. that. A swim bait can be intimidating, and they feel like they'll throw it for a couple hours, maybe don't have any success, and just feel like it doesn't work.
Right.
But it will work at some point in the day. It's just got to stay in the water.
Right. And I mean, if you catch them on Beaver Lake, that's pretty high pressure. Like a lake that's, these fish are well educated here.
They are.
Yeah. They got master's degrees.
Exactly. And, me being here local to Beaver, it's introduced a lot of swim baits to Beaver. There's a lot of local guys who have started throwing them and they're getting even educated on swim baits now, down to color and size.
Uh-huh.
You can make a tiny modification to the same bait that somebody else is throwing.
Right.
Like if you bought this same bait and there's enough of these out here on Beaver now that the fish are becoming educated to it, you make one tiny modification to it, add feathers to the hook or a little spin blade to the hook or something like that.
Right.
And it's like it starts out, it's like they've never seen it before. So that's what's really cool. They get really educated, but by one tiny little modification, you can really trick them again.
What do you think's another drawback to the larger size, the heavier swim baits that you see people like? They buy it and then they're like, what do I do now?
Right. The two things for me that I see is cost and fatigue. Right. The cost of what it takes to get into it, your reels. I mean, it takes, once you get into the big stuff, I mean, you're talking specialized gear. You can't just go take your regular bass gear and throw some of this stuff. Like if you're talking about the king, the trout, the pounder, most of the other stuff, even the legend, you can throw that on most regular bass gear. This is going to be pushing its limits, but you can throw it on regular bass gear. But when you talk about the big stuff, that's when you're stepping into specialized gear, the big stuff that's almost saltwater rated. And so that costs for that, for your rods and reels, and then fatigue for people, they're big, heavy baits. If you don't have the right setup, you're going to get exhausted throwing them and just sticking to it. But if you get the right gear and if you don't have to go all out. Like some of this stuff, people get intimidated by the cost, but there are affordable reels out there that you can get introduced to. Shimano has some affordable reels that you can get, the round reel, like saltwater style, for $100.
Right.
And if you're buying a $200 to $300 bait, you should be able to afford $100 reel.
Right.
So there are affordable ways to get introduced to it that aren't as intimidating.
And
then the fatigue, just people, throwing a bait like this all day long, it can be exhausting if you don't have the right gear and the right setup.
That's for sure.
That's the downside. But the rewards are well worth it. If you throw a bait like this all day long, you're going to see probably more big fish than you've ever seen in the waters that you thought were empty.
Right.
So.
And that's the weight size of casting one is something. Quick question.
Yes.
When these hit the water, mm-hmm. do they scare the fish or do they attract the fish?
It's like a dinner bell going off. A lot of people get mad. When I was growing up, I didn't like the big splash. When I first was introduced to swim baits, I was fishing a lake that I fished the lake for 2 to 3 years before I started actually fishing swim baits, and I would see somebody come by with a swim bait and casting, and I would get so mad that I thought they were scaring off the fish.
Right.
Once I started fishing swim baits, I realized that gets their attention. That splash, if it's a little fish that's intimidated, yeah, it's going to run away. But if it's a predatory fish, just like think of it like a muskie or even a shark, you know what I mean? They're animals that are made to eat. So when they hear a splash, that gets their attention. They're going to look up and wonder what that was. And then when they see it's a big meal, it's not a rock. It's not a bird diving. It's a big meal waiting for them.
Right.
Then it gets their attention. A lot of times I've had so many hookups just right after it lands because they hear that splash and it's like a dinner bell. They come up and eat.
You don't go over to Swebco and throw this, do you?
Do some.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been bombarded with swim bait. I had that kind of under wraps for about 2 to 3 years, and I think enough people saw me or saw other people doing it as well,
uh-huh.
that it has changed that lake. It is a very hard lake to fish now. You still go out and catch them on swim baits for sure, but it's right. nothing like it was 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah, 5, 6 years ago when they were hungry.
Oh,
they
my gosh.
They hungry.
Well, they just hadn't seen it before, and now they've become educated.
You have to change up.
Yep.
Maybe new style, maybe new size or something like that. Oh, crappie.
Yes.
Real quick, too. Crappie. This one's painted like a little crappie.
Yeah, that's just one of the prototypes to the little guy that you were showing earlier. And, when I do my prototypes, I like to paint them in different patterns, and that way I can recognize which one performs like I want it to. If they're all painted the same, it's really hard. I'll have to mark it or take notes. And so when I do prototypes, you know, I have 8 or 10 baits that I take out. I try to paint them all in different colors, and that way I can be like, oh, the crappie one worked really well, or the shad one worked really well.
Gotcha.
And so that one I just happened to paint crappie, and it was a very high-performance bait. So then I take that back to the shop and try to replicate whatever it was that worked with that one.
Yeah, this one's chewed up a little bit.
Yeah,
so it's been used. Probably a good sign.
Yeah, most of these I just pulled. I just pulled today from
your tackle
the
box.
Shop. Yeah, from the shop, and there I was like, go. Hey, I need to get some bait. So I called one of the guys. I was kind of running late, so I called one of the guys at the shop and was like, hey, can you gather one of each bait? He's like, well, who are they for? And I'm, they're just for show. Like I just need to show and talk about them today.
Right.
And he was like, okay, so I don't have to swim them and make sure they're perfect. And I was like, no, just get them for me and.
And the thing is, one of the guys that works at your shop was at standing around Prairie Creek one time, and we started visiting, and we went to his truck, and he had like a small suitcase that was in there. It was kind of like the Blues Brothers, almost like a little handcuff that chain, you know, to his suitcase.
Yep. Like open your like, jacket, and you got baits hanging.
He's like, look at this, and I'm like, wow, look at this. And I'd seen people like Brad Knight with big swim baits, and like they pull them out and it's like fleas to something. They just all of a sudden
they're so foreign to a lot. I mean, they're becoming more and more popular and more mainstream, but they're still kind of like this whole mystery that surrounds swim baits. That if you see somebody who has a bunch of them, you're like, oh my gosh, what does he know? And you want to go pick their brain.
And what does he have?
Yeah. What's he have? What's he know of? Like you try to learn something from that person, you know,
as long as they're hand built custom type setup, they'll always be in demand.
Oh yeah,
that's for sure.
Anything handmade, you know, people enjoy that handmade aspect. They're not perfect. Each and every one is a little bit different. They have each one has its own little signature flaw.
Right,
but it's something that it's also just like any other handmade product. It has a drive and demand behind it.
Yep. Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, they got all kinds of colors, designs, but nothing as big as this. You'd have to melt all bunch of boxes of pointer shads to get this size here. But you can check them out. They got actually have 42 colors of crankbaits now. So so that's really good and pretty exciting that they come out with new colors every year. Two new colors this year. So D-Win is one of them. A very popular color that's out on Kentucky Lake. And the other one is Paycheck, which is That one's going to be really, really good in the Ozarks for sure. We've already did a little testing on it, and they work pretty good. So check them out at PikaLures.com. Kevin, if they want to find out more about your baits, or maybe they want to buy some, where would they go?
We do all of our advertising on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. Okay. We also have a website. The website stays empty most of the time, but we advertise through Facebook and Instagram when we put baits on the website. We do a live video a lot of the times. Anytime we do a live video, it doesn't mean there's baits on the website. I like to do live videos just to interact with the customers. But right. Sometimes I will announce, like, during the live video, hey, these baits will be available, you know, and then give them the time and date. Right. But we always try to make an announcement when baits are available on the website.
All right. Sounds good. That takes us to the end of the show. I always like to end the show. Make sure you keep your hook sharp. Lures in the water.